friends, Jamie here. Welcome to Satellite Stories, where we interview those who have encountered Jesus through video games and nerd culture. We are part of the LTN Podcast Network, and today we're going to hear another story. Satellite Stories, Episode 3, coming at you. I am going to be hanging out with my best friend in the whole world, Russ, and his wife, Amber, and you're going to hear the amazing, crazy story of how these two passionate followers of Jesus Christ met while we were in high school while playing video games online. I'm excited for this one. I know you've heard of stories like this. Here we go. I'm here with my friends, Russell and Amber. You're going to get to know them here in just a second. But hey, you guys are like my best friends in the world. Just saw you guys this weekend. I thought it was a blast. I want to hear what you guys thought. Tell us a little bit about what we were doing.
So this last weekend, we had two different major events that we had going on.
Who's we?
Oh, sorry. Satellite Gaming.
Yeah. Okay. Gaming. Cool. Yeah. Just the three of us.
Us three. No. We had two big events. The first one was our showcase, our gala. That one was awesome for a few different reasons. Really, I think that it's super important during this gala where, you know, all of our supporters, all of our big people who want to come in and really invest into what Satellite Gaming is doing, they have the opportunity to come in and witness firsthand, hey, you know, from the team on the ground, what's going on? And so we had a couple testimonies. One of them that was so great, it felt like it was scripted, like a paid actor kind of thing. Like this kid, he's 14 years old. Awesome. This guy, he really was able to deliver exactly what we were wanting to communicate and show, hey, like this is a real thing that's happening in our community. It's easy to get lost in the weeds of saying like, hey, we're doing video game ministry. Well, this is what it looks like.
Are you?
This is a kid whose life was transformed because of the relationship that we're building and how we're pointing them to Jesus. But I mean, he did it so well. It was like, holy smokes, this guy's awesome.
It was great.
It's crazy. Someone came up to me afterward and he's like, okay, so this is how you work with like the eloquent, you know, middle schoolers. How do you work with the awkward ones? And I'm like, bro, you have not seen this kid off the stage. Okay. Like, no dig on Dante. He's dope. All middle schoolers are awkward, right? The Holy Spirit, something, man, that kid, he killed it. He killed it. Okay. Yeah. So a couple more things on the showcase and then Amber will tell us what we did on Friday. So this is Thursday. We're hearing testimonies. What else took place on the showcase, Russ? This is good.
Yeah. So Jess and David also had an opportunity other than like you and Nathan had another testimony kind of thing that you guys did. But then Jess and David did this kind of like almost like a skit. And really what it did is it went into, okay, so you guys have heard all about Satellite Gaming. You've heard all about like our mission. Like we push our mission statement super hard because, well, it's very important. But okay, so what do you actually do? How do you actually do it? Those were all questions that were answered and you went through our process. And I think that's really important for people who, especially for people who are trying to be involved, especially on like a supporter level, because it allows them to have a connected or bridged understanding of, okay, so when you're talking about like, hey, we have a mission statement, but how does it work? That's what that, where that connection comes in and it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. What does it actually do? Okay, cool. So we could get into the weeds a bit on that, but there's the showcase. I like it. Amber, you're up. This is a test. What did we do on Friday?
Friday was our, yes, I do. Okay. I do. I was taking notes.
Okay. Good.
It was our community event. And so it's really focused on just connecting in with obviously the local community, whether it be youth groups, churches, or just the school down the street where we're doing clubs at, or somebody who got a flyer from a friend. It's like, hey, let's all come together. We're doing tournaments. We got Smash Bros. We got Fortnite. We got Minecraft, like trying to get all the big hitters, get the kids in there, like actually out of the basements into the event and make them all feel like the athletes that they are. And man, it was awesome. It was so cool to see all the kids just like up there, you know, they're at their stations or whatever, or they're just getting pizza. You could tell they were really excited to be there. Yeah. And it definitely filled a need, I think, that a lot of those kids needed.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. Now you guys have been my friends for a while. Again, I mean, I've known Russ pretty much my whole life. Amber, I will talk about how we all got introduced. So that's kind of why we're here, right? But we're just kind of we're treading the water a little bit, figuring out who you guys are. Now, have you, this is your first time, even though you've known me forever, this is your first time really being at a satellite gaming event, right? I think, Russ, you went to something in like Emmett, Idaho with me one time. Maybe you were there for a little bit, but yeah. This was like your first real satellite gaming experience. What's like, before we get into your story, tell us like maybe, keep it brief. So Amber, if Russ starts rambling, just like, you know, nudge him a little bit. Real brief, what's... Just take, give me a nugget. Like what did you walk away with? What was the most inspiring piece for you of either the showcase or the community event?
So I think I have two things.
Oh, see, you got tap him. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Okay. Real quickly then. The first is number one, the opportunity that we have to highlight how special a student is. Mm. It was so awesome and amazing to be able to like, it takes, not to sound like lazy, but it takes almost no effort to care. Mm, and that's okay. Exactly what you can do is you can go up to a student and you can be excited and celebrate their success or whatever they are doing with them. And it just goes a super long way. The second thing is really the community aspect. I mean, it is a community event and truly what we're doing is building relationships. These kids were excited just to be with other people. And then to also be celebrated at the same time, it's an amazing experience for them.
Yeah, I love it. Amber, what you got? What's your takeaway?
I think a lot of it was the same, just kind of like making those connections with kids and setting up a space for them to like totally be themselves. I mean, I saw so many kids there like pulling out tablets with like, hey, I drew this or, you know, like just being like, now we're friends, like on the playground, you know, you run up to a kid, now you're best friends. That was happening at every station. You were just next to the person, so that was your new friend. And I don't know.
Like,
I don't know.
Get knocked out of Fortnite like early, but at least the guy sitting next to you did too. So you just talk for the next 15 minutes. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that's cool. I love that. So let's bring it now to you guys. Let's transition to that. And when we were teenagers, there was not anything like satellite gaming, not even like close, dude. And it's actually probably good because it's all I would have spent my time doing. I had already spent enough time with video games. Like, I mean, I don't know. I say it would be good. I don't think so. I needed it. I needed something like satellite. It's crazy to think about. Reality is it wasn't there. So for us playing video games, what did that look like? You know, 100 years ago, whatever. we're all this like close to the same age. What did that look like, you know, roughly 20 years ago, which is crazy to think about.
Well, remember, that's how actually Jamie and I became friends, was through a video game. I mean, I remember I was in Walmart and I saw the cover art for this like a strategy game, right? And I was like, I don't know if this is like, if that's me, I don't know. It seems kind of nerdy. You know, there's that dude at school. Like we fought over like
nerdy.
we fought over girls and all that kind of stuff. Like he likes this stuff. I think I'll go ask him. And that's how we became friends. Yeah. Is talking about video games.
Yeah. And I'll say the game, dude, Final Fantasy Tactics, bro. Let's just let it loose.
That was it.
Some good and very stupid memories falling asleep playing that game, dude. Who played that way too much. It was like spring break. I'd stay at your house. You'd stay at my house. I'd stay at your house. And we just tote the video game with us wherever we went. Oh my gosh. So that was us. Now, Russ and I, here we are, in Idaho, good old Nampa Christian. And, we're arguing about girls one day, talking about Final Fantasy Tactics the next day. And then, best friends and accountability partners for life, you know, within probably 6 months of Final Fantasy Tactics. And Amber, we didn't even know you existed. Where were you this whole time?
I was rotting in my room in Michigan.
Rotting in my room in Michigan. That sounds horrible. So you were a gamer. You were in your gamer den just doing your own thing. I actually don't know a lot of like pre-Russ Amber. Like I don't know a lot of that. So like what was that like? What did you do?
So primarily I grew up homeschooled. Add that in to the whole image that you're getting. And I was just kind of finding ways to fill my time. I had come to a point in my
By the
life
way, real
where,
quick, I'm sorry, your paid actors in the background are doing
oh.
great. We're making it look like you guys have grown and had a I'm kidding. No, continue. What was
Yeah.
Amber's life like before we knew you?
I grew up in a Christian home, and I think like a lot of kids who had that, you come to an age where you sort of have to decide, is this something my parents believe? And now, is it something I personally believe? And I'd come to that point sort of in my mid-teens where I was like, okay, this is my own, it's my faith now. I have been saved by grace. And I was trying to
I
figure
believed
out,
at five, by the way.
he gives more
At
points than
five?
me.
Yep.
Yeah, you were
Jesus
just like,
loves
I
me.
get it,
That's all
dude.
I needed.
Dude, yeah. Oh,
Go on, I'm sorry.
man.
You got your little adventure Bible and you're like, eh. Yeah. Okay,
I
so
had,
Rusty is better than us. Go
okay. But with that, you know, okay, let's see what I can do. So I kind of come to
ahead.
the point where I had realized that, all I have is really like the mission in front of me, right? And I had some friends who kind of were feeling the same as me and a lot who weren't. So I started pulling away from my social groups, which meant I didn't have any social groups.
Oh
So I
no.
really got into a lot of like, we'd always had video games in the house, but like my brother got me a subscription to like World of Warcraft for my birthday. We got a Xbox and got Halo, you know, so I kind of just sunk into those things. And I was like, well, maybe I can just kind of like, if I have interactions with people, I can try to like shine the light of Christ there, you know, kind of thing.
Okay.
And
Were you any
so,
good at it? Or was it like total middle school awkward, like, I'm on WoW and I love Jesus? Like, yeah.
Yeah, probably. Although I don't think I really talked to anybody. So, you know,
Oh, okay.
I
You did a
guess that
great job.
mission,
Good
yeah, wasn't
job.
really accomplished. But just like you, like there was no satellite gaming.
Yeah.
You know, there
Yeah.
was people trying to do like weird internet cafes and stuff, and that's kind of creepy and it cost money, and I didn't have any money.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was just kind of doing that, and you know, it's kind of depressing and kind of lonely. And but you know, I learned some video
Okay.
games.
Okay, so now we enter in to why I have you both here. So I'm going to do this a little differently than I was going to, but if you have not been listening so far, wherever you might be, if you're in your car, if you're at home, this is the moment you need to hear. I have my best friend Russ and his amazing wife Amber on this call because the two of you were from different parts of the United States. And when we were teenagers, I don't know all the details. I mean, I probably know more than I'd give myself credit for, but the two of you met while playing Ragnarok Online, an MMORPG. And now it is 2024. For those not on video, there are humans in the background, humans that are your children, and you love Jesus, they love Jesus. Here we are 20 years later because you and Russ met playing Ragnarok Online. And that is the story we're going to tell today. So here, this is where you guys just take it away, throw us into Ragnarok Online. What is like, you know, whatever freshman, sophomore Rusty doing that results in him meeting Amber. What? Tell us about it. Let's go. This is story time.
Well, to be a little bit more on the brief side without going into all the details, I would say that there's a whole bunch of stuff as far as like our meeting goes, our digital meeting, right? I can
Yeah.
see maps, I can see our characters, I remember all of this kind of stuff. And actually, there's a little bit of conflicting
Like you guys remember it
conversation.
differently?
A little, yeah.
Yeah,
Okay.
so
Like
I
Rusty's like, I
remember.
was this really cool guy, and Amber's like, you were this
No.
dork, dude.
Not quite that. So I remember before, because I had like a couple different characters, right? And so like I remember the first time we met. Amber doesn't quite remember that, but then there was another time where we met up again, and I don't remember if Amber knew who I was at that point or if we were just starting to really build the friendship then. I was super annoying. Amber was like a
I don't
character
remember that.
who could really help out others. And I had this character that, for whatever reason, had this ability to like cause your own teammates to have like to get frozen in place. And it was by telling bad jokes, because like in like Asian culture, they say like a bad joke is really cold. Oh, that's like super cold,
Okay.
right? And
Okay.
so what would happen though is that you'd actually freeze your party members, not yourself. Well, you could freeze yourself, but your other party members would be totally debilitated. And she was like, it was so annoying.
I was just trying to help him and he kept doing this and
What
I was
was this
like,
like some kind of bard? Like what
it
is this?
was.
It was a bard. Okay. So they impact like the morale of the group and okay. That is so funny. So far, is this what you remember, Amber?
Just it was like conflicting maps and towns, you know, because it's like a online MMO kind of thing where lots of people log on.
So where we really started hitting it off is eventually on like my main character, when we were kind of partying and talking and all that kind of stuff, there was one night where Amber was like, "Hey, I gotta go," and it was at a time like during the day where I was like, "I have a feeling. I have a feeling. I had a feeling because it was Wednesday night that Amber was going to go to church," and so I said,
Awana's
"Where?"
baby. No.
And so, being like the 15 or 16-year-old I was like, "Where are you going?" You know? And she was like, "Oh, I'm going to church." And I was like, "Confirm, knew it." And so then that is actually how our friendship started. And here's why I think that's important. You know, now as a 35, almost 36-year-old, I've looked back at that moment several times because we've been married now for almost 16 years. And it's important because we were both looking for community. And so now as I have the ability to reflect with, you know, a whole bunch more life experience than a, rather than, you know, freshly, you know, into my tweens, I was looking to share my faith with other people that were also interested in the same things. 'Cause I mean, yeah, like there's a bunch of nerds at school, but not a lot of people were as nerdy as like Jamie or I, right? We were pretty nerdy.
No, they weren't as cool as us either.
True. No, but I think that's what, you know, people from all walks of life want to do. They want to be able to share what they're interested in with other people. And well, I mean, obviously we're playing the same game, so we have the same interest. But then even greater than that was the interest in Jesus, our creator, you know, the person who loves us.
That's awesome. So bef now I can tell, like, I mean, now you guys have kids. The beautiful story after that. I can tell that there's like some really cool special moments. Before we get to that, like, you know, the more intimate, like special, beautiful moments, growing in our faith, all that, I gotta hear some of this from Amber's perspective. Like, what was some just like what was just 16-year-old dorky online Rusty like? Like, what do you remember? Do you have any specific moments where you're like, this dude's weird, or were you just like head over heels right away?
I mean, the initial like party was a little frustrating, in the
The one
sense
where
that
he's
like,
freezing everyone.
yeah, and
Was it on
but
purpose?
yeah, you had to like purposely cast it.
Well, to help give context, it had to be extra annoying because I was getting helped. Amber was helping me get better while I'm annoying her.
Okay, so not much has changed in 20 years. No.
I feel like for the most part, he was really personable and fun and considerate. You know, not everybody online is. And so I think that even though that was kind of like a funny little frustration moment, you know, it was okay. It didn't bother me. Like, obviously the next time that I was online and he was online as well, I still talked to him. And so, you know, you are trying to like build that community online, so you do recognize people. So, yeah, he was pretty cool. And you know, he would like ask me like, what shows do you watch, anime and stuff like that. And like nobody around me was really interested. I had like one friend at the time who tolerated it. Later I met another really close friend who just loved it, and she draws and everything like that. But in that time that I first met him, I didn't have anybody to talk anime with. I didn't have any to talk video games with, you know, no Sims like comparisons and stuff like that. So it was, he was a good friend.
So now you're playing video games online, you're in each other's parties, like, you know, aside from freezing all your allies, it's actually like a pretty like peaceful experience. When did things start turning into like, okay, is this like more than friends? Is that even allowed online? And what was this 2003? Like, what in the world is happening? Where did things start shifting?
Well,
And
yeah,
how
so.
was, I want to ask this too, and how was Jesus involved? That to me is like the most beautiful thing we can capture. So like, how did it start to happen, and where was Christ in all of this?
So I think that the big thing for us has always been Jesus. We became like friends right when we started sharing our faith. That is really where the friendship really started. Because I mean, like, we were like online friends-ish in the game before that. Like, we would hang out and talk, but we became like really like friends after we discovered that we both love Jesus. And that was the turning point. From there, it carried off into like MSN Messenger. I don't remember if anybody remembers that, but we used that to communicate. And that's where we started growing closer in that. And then we were friends probably for like another year and a half before we started actually dating. So we developed a friendship over a year and a half at that time. And then like, and actually during that time when we were developing our friendship, I was dating another girl at school. And then once that, didn't work out, I knew instantly, like, I have something very special with Amber. She is
I remember
like,
that because I this isn't like bad. We're teenagers, right? But like I remember you talking to Amber about your struggles with your girlfriend. Like I've like right? I'm remembering that correctly, aren't I?
You are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I
Yeah. I mean,
remember that too.
we were allowed to do that. We were teenagers. We're trying to figure things out. And what I remember is the conversations with Amber where I was tripped out is I was like, how are your relations with Amber? Because like we were strong and still are strong accountability partners, right? Like we told each other everything, all the struggles that like teenage guys have, adult men have. Like to this day, we are accountability partners. And I remember thinking like, okay, it's super weird that you're talking to a girl online. It's super weird that you're talking to her about your girlfriend, but everything you're talking about reflects the heart of Jesus. And like all the girls that we chase, like outside of that, I was like, I don't have that relationship you have with Amber or whatever. I didn't even know if I think Mixtape like on Halo is like what
Oh
you went
my
by. And
gosh,
I'm
you're
like,
right. Yes.
Wow.
It was a long time ago. I remember that. But like, I'm thinking like everything you talk about her seems to be like Jesus centric. And then all these other girls, it's like, because believe it or not, Amber, believe it or not, you boys had some game back in the day, okay? Like,
We got to go back in time for that.
I go back in time. You can ask our moms. People liked us. Not kidding. So, but we, it was, I think that was what was hard for me. It was, I was like, oh, like you're going to start taking girls serious now and like making about Jesus. Okay. And I was tripping out because I'm like, dude, this girl is online. What are you doing? So from my perspective, I was concerned, but also like intrigued. And then I remember, I'll zoom up a little bit. I remember you saying like, dude, I think I'm gonna go visit her. And I was like, what? What? Your parents are how crazy? Are how crazy? And you have amazing parents. You had very, very probably what we thought was too present of parents, right? Your parents were like, we felt like at the time they were way too present. And now as adults, we're like, we're so grateful for that. But like, how did you make that happen? Like, how did your parents agree? Like, Amber, what were your parents like? What did this look like?
So I think that okay, so this is coming now not from the perspective of a teenager, but from the perspective of an adult with children. Okay, so involvement, absolutely involvement. So my parents, although they gave me quite a bit of space to kind of play video games and do all that kind of stuff, and same with Amber, they were still involved, right? So when by the time that I was actually like dating Amber and really cared deeply about her, we were at the point where we're like, we would share, webcam video and all that kind of stuff. So I would show my parents who Amber is, and then she would show her mom and dad who I was. And so involvement was really key there, because I think that we'll probably get into this later, but I'm looking, could my kids replicate what Amber and I did? And I'm like, I don't know if I want that.
Yeah, so how old were you at this time? Like when you went to go visit her for the first time?
Okay, so by the time that I actually went to go visit her, I think I was 17 and a half.
Okay, so that's pretty good. So, but when you're talking, you're meeting, you're showing each other on webcam, like let's say 16, maybe 15, probably 16. Okay.
I would say by the time that we're actually seeing each other on webcam, I was 17 by then.
Yeah.
Amber was almost 18.
Okay. So without sharing too much of like you guys can share this if you want, but without me sharing like your kid's age and name and experience, let's say your daughter is 16, 17 and says, "Hey dad, look at my boyfriend," and he's on a webcam and he's some dude with like early facial hair, like what?
So what does that look like? There is going to be a tremendous amount of involvement. You know, I think that there's factors, right? You got it. There's so many different factors you have to, you know, consider. Like, number one, how real is this? Is this AI generated? You know, like that's not something that we had to think about when we were kids, you know? And then obviously, you know, hey, what's this guy's story? Does he love Jesus? Because if he doesn't love Jesus, then there's got to be some talks, you know, because
No, that's crazy. Amber, from your perspective and the interactions you had with Russ, maybe with his parents, your parents, I mean, I'm really seeing where Jesus was in this. And what I know about you guys is this is not like fluffed up for some like Jesus podcast. This is how you guys live your life, right? Like Jesus centric. So at the time, I imagine, you know, you have your own faith. It's you've discovered what that looks like outside of your parents. But as it pertains to this potential man in your life, your parents have to be involved. So what did that look like?
I think that for tell about
the first time I called.
Oh my gosh. I was
on landline?
So,
was this the landline?
On my cell phone, my flip phone.
You razor? Yeah.
I did not have a razor. I had something else in Sony Ericsson or something. I don't know.
Okay. Let's go.
Okay. So in general, I think my parents, they were very involved in my life. And so I think that they put a lot of trust in me. And I valued the trust greatly because I had a lot of freedoms. And so I did do a lot of talking with my mom specifically.
So what you're saying is you were more respectful to your parents than Rusty and I were to ours. Okay. Got it.
I don't know. And so as I was like kind of creating these different relationships online, I was pretty open about them to her about, you know, just that I spent a lot of time online. So she knew who Rusty was. She was involved. We talk. I mean, there'd be a few times he'd be like needing advice and I'd hand the phone over and she'd talk to him and things like that. But the very first time, okay, you guys might've had game in high school. I did not. I was not even in the game. Nobody ever asked me out. I did not have a single, like nothing, right? The first boy who ever called my home called so I could walk him how, like show him how to defrag his computer. Like I was a huge nerd, right? So
that's amazing.
We're driving to my grandma's house Christmas Day and my phone starts ringing and it's Rusty. And my dad is just like, "Who is that?" You know, like, of course, it's probably someone just helping with the computer again. Right. But no, like was so embarrassing. And so like, I'm trying to answer, like, "Hi, I'm in the car with my family," you know, and he just wanted to keep talking. He had just gotten his cell phone for Christmas. He wanted to keep chatting. And it was, I was like, "I got to go, man. Don't, I it's Christmas. I got to go." It was pretty embarrassing.
Was that just the end of it?
He
like hung up on him?
No, he was nice about it. And I don't know. I think we talked later that night. But yeah, I was pretty open with it. So by the time that I was starting to think like, "Hey, I think I really like this guy." My mom kind of knew what was going on. She didn't pry a whole bunch. And I think that she probably looks back and goes like, "Hey, I should have done this or that different." But I think she handled it great. And then my dad was just kind of like a supervising kind of surface level sort of thing. Yeah. And she would relay to him a lot of stuff. But I definitely had come to the point where I had realized like, I couldn't find anybody around me who I felt like measured up to him. I felt like he was sort of my yardstick going forward for a relationship and I was bummed. Mm. And then it was sort of like, "Oh wait, I think he likes me too." But we didn't officially start dating until we did meet in person. That's when we were like, "Okay, now we're actually boyfriend and girlfriend." And we had a pretty big basis.
Yeah, well, because I was getting bugged at school and I didn't want to say that I had a girlfriend and she's only online, right? So once I had met Amber in person, it was like, "Okay, no, I have a real girlfriend. I met her."
Yeah, and she's not like 40.
Yeah,
exactly. Or a dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or a dude. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, man, I do remember you going, and I don't think I was a very supportive friend at like in you going, but I think that's kind of fair, okay? Because I'm like, this is crazy. But I remember you're like, "Dude, I'm going." And when you told me you guys were dating, I was like, "All right, bro. Like, cool. That's like I didn't have, what could I say? I'm like, can I still play Halo with her?" I think it's like one thing, yeah. Like, cause I remember, I think
I think Amber and I don't remember playing a lot of Halo with you guys, but Halo was my game. You guys played Ragnarok and a few others. Russ and I, we played like some Command and Conquer, Red Alert. But I remember playing Halo with Amber more than playing with Russ. Like, is that what you guys remember? Like, I think it was probably only like one session, but it was like, I was at Rusty's house and I remember Russ didn't want to play Halo, but you and I wanted to play her. Like, forget him. You played Metal Gear Solid for like the 1 millionth time or something while we played Halo. And like, that's one of the only times, aside from the Halo parties we had later, like that's the only time I really remember playing Halo with you guys. I honestly, what it was is like most of the time when we play games, like we're close to even. Right. But anytime there's a game where one of us is better than the other one, we just don't play it together. Like, I think still to this day that stands true. But now there's so much we can unpack and so much that I just want to reminisce on. But for the sake of those listening or those tuning in, I want to think about the different types of people that might be listening and might want to hear what you have to say. And I think it could be people of faith that don't understand video games. What I want them to hear is like, hey, this can be used for good. For people of faith who love video games and play them, it's kind of affirmation like, hey, you can find your spouse, man. You can find but for even people that just, I don't know, maybe don't share in our faith, that's okay. I hope they still tune into the podcast. But I think I want them to hear like video games can be used for good. And I think a lot of those things have been heard. But as you think of people and the different perspectives, like some might be skeptics, some might be like overly zealous about the online world, right? Like how do you strike a balance again as you raise kids in today's world, as you know people that are meeting others online, like what does a healthy balance look like? Now, what did it look like then? You know, because like it can't just be, yeah, run, you know, to your kid, like, yeah, girl, just, you know, let loose online and meet your spouse, see ya. Like, how do you find a balance for that? I imagine it's kind of terrifying.
So let me start by saying that, you know, we live in a totally digital world now. You know, whether it's video games or something else, you know, people are meeting on the online space. So like I have a new set of friends that Amber and I just met like 2 weeks ago or something like that. And they met on an online dating app. They just recently got married and now they're fundraising to go be full-time missionaries in India.
Seriously. Wow.
Yeah, it's
I actually didn't
cool.
know that. That's cool.
Yeah. We're going to have them over for Thursday for dinner on Thursday. So yeah. I'm super, super excited. Wow. Anyway. So the reality again, though, is that people are meeting online. Now, for those of us who care about video games, the same thing is true, is that you're meeting people online, unless you're playing like a single game in your house and you're not online. Well, okay, that's a different story. Got it, right. But you can meet people online. And I think that the number one thing that you have to consider above all else is Jesus.
Yeah.
For at least as far as Christians go, right? Like, so Amber and I, we became friends because of Jesus. We were just online like acquaintances slash kind of like friends, but we really became friends when we started finding out, hey, you love Jesus? I love Jesus. That was exciting. And I think that's also important too, because people use video games as an escape a lot of times, you know, just as anything else could be, like it could be music or sports. And so if Jesus is not not a pillar of someone's life and is not like the cornerstone of their life, you run into issues where when one person says that, hey, I want to spend less time on video games than I used to because there's certain parts of my life that I want to grow. If the other person doesn't also have Jesus as the cornerstone, that could be some issues for the relationship where the other person may not want to grow. And so you really got to consider the core of the relationship really needs to be based around Jesus and not based around anything else, not just because it's video games, but it has to be based upon Jesus.
So I have a question for Amber, if that's okay, based on what you're saying. And that is, you mentioned earlier, I can't remember your exact words, but something like, oh, I spent a lot of time in my dungeon or whatever. You know, implied like you just like you did escape. Right. Yeah. Now you meet this dude who has, you know, a serious relationship with Jesus, again, has friends that hold him accountable spiritually, is interested in a life of ministry and missions. And now suddenly when you are playing your games, it, based on what I'm seeing, like, that's probably some of your most like intimate moments with Jesus is by having conversation with this now man of God that you're spending this time with. Would you say that like video games became a place where that was your solace? That was no longer a dungeon, but it was where you were experiencing the love of Jesus, maybe even the most for some seasons of your life.
Oh yeah, definitely. I didn't even have like a really big youth group or anything like that. And so I really just relied on a lot of the conversations we would have. I would, you know, be going through a hard time, be kind of like depressed or whatever. And he would always be like, you know, like teen Bible challenge. He'd have a verse for me, you know, and just kind of like pointing me forward even with like,
if I know Russ, even when you're not asking him for it, you're just trying to complain. He's like, this is what Jesus says. I'm like, dude, yes. I don't really, I care what Jesus says, but right now I just want to be bad. Like, yeah, yeah, it's good. Yeah. I love it. We need that.
It was very encouraging. And I did have a lot of times, a lot of conversations. It wasn't just like, oh, I think you're so cute. A lot of our conversations were seriously just about like, hey, here's what I'm going through. And here's how we do that, you know, as we grow and as we're growing in our faith, and just kind of giving insight to each other. And, you know, a lot of like, deep, like bone deep conversations were had, you know, 2 a.m. or whatever, when I probably should have, you know, been sleeping because I had to do math stuff in the morning or whatever. But like, seriously,
I wasn't being that bad because I was 2 hours behind.
Okay? Yeah, that's true.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was very much a place where I would have really great conversations and a lot of growth in those years where I didn't know what I was going to do after high school. I had no idea. He's praying for me. We were praying together. And that's like, I'm going to go to Bible college. I'm just going to do that. And just kind of like, kind of a pivot. Like I had no idea what I was going to do when I was just sitting in my basement being depressed. I was like, I don't know. I'll work at Walmart or something. But then just like, I'm going to do Bible college. And it has just been crazy roller coaster ride that's been super fun ever since.
That's so cool. So a couple moments that I remember as we zip along to the end of the story. I remember Russ, through part of your senior year, we lived together. We lived in my house with my family, and Amber actually joined, but obviously being the good Christian kids we were, my parents were like, hey, Amber's on this side of the house. Jamie, you share this futon with Russ. You know, I mean, we have some crazy stories that are not safe to share on this podcast about how dumb Rusty and I were. I remember moments where Amber would be sitting on the couch innocently and we'd randomly show up and the craziest way we could possibly show up in a living room. I think she's like peacefully trying to watch a show and we turn into like tribal idiots and just run around like crazy and make all the noises. And poor Amber, somehow you still stuck it through. And I got to watch you guys go to Bible college. Beautiful wedding. I was just talking about it. You guys got married at the most beautiful location. It was like, I still remember there's like wine aged barrels in the background. Just people today. And I was telling Russ in 2024, that's like what people want in a wedding is what yours looked like 20 years ago. So yeah. I think for the first time in Rusty's life, he was like ahead of the curve with style. And I was like, dude, that's amazing. I kid, but now again, all these moments that I point out now, fast forward, Russ, we haven't said it yet. You're the chair of the board at Satellite Gaming. You guys have been on missionary journeys together, not just seasonal missionary, but you guys were missionaries in another country for years, right? And now raising kids as followers of Christ that are awesome gamers. I mean, let's do this. Let's kind of begin to wrap it up by sharing this moment where you meet each other online, you grow in your faith together, you fall in love with each other, you fall more in love with Jesus. Speak to how that moment of meeting each other and spurring one another on toward love really did change the trajectory of your life. Like again, we're speaking to, at Satellite Stories, we're speaking about moments where Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and video games collide and meet a person where they are. That moment resulted in your lives being forever changed. Like speak to that. How does your life look? You don't know, obviously, because you don't know what it would like if you didn't meet, but speak to how you think meeting one another impacted the trajectory of your life in a spiritual way.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that I was in a place, I think even from like sophomore kind of area, where I knew I wanted to go to Bible college. And I was thinking, like Northwest Nazarene University. And so when Amber got to the point, because she was a year ahead of me, when she was looking at what do I do with my life, I was like, why don't you just tithe 2 years of your life? You don't even have to complete Bible college, but why don't you just go to Bible college while you try to figure that out? You cannot do worse than just go to develop your relationship with Jesus. And then so Amber was
That
part
was
of
something one of our mentors, Al Cinnamon, taught us. I don't know if that's where you
yes, he
heard
did.
that.
That's
Dude,
100%
that's
where I heard that.
crazy. All
We love you,
right.
Al. We love
100%.
you, Al. That's
Yep.
crazy. That's what I did too.
100%.
Wow.
Yep.
Whoa, wise words. Okay, continue. That's crazy.
Very.
We've never talked about that. That's so.
Amber was with Calvary Chapel and went to Calvary Chapel Bible College in Costa Mesa. Well, not Costa Mesa, but in Southern California. And I decided to follow her the next year because after comparing NNU versus Calvary Chapel Bible College, now NNU is a fully accredited Bible college that will give you like a real bachelor's degree and
It's a university, right? Like it's,
yeah. And CCBC is an unaccredited Bible college. It's a 2-year program. I think they have other stuff you can do with them now, but either way, at the time, it was only a 2-year unaccredited theological degree. And I very much did take Al's words to heart where I was looking to tithe. And also, it was substantially cheaper. And I was like, great, let's go tithe our time and then figure out what we want to do with our lives. Because I already knew I wanted to marry Amber. I think I proposed when we were when I was in high school and you were in Bible college still. But and then from there's some really cool stories. I won't get into it here about God leading us over to Japan and then being missionaries for a couple years in Japan. Really cool stuff that happened through there. And I would say that that was one of the biggest things that from our meeting that heavily impacted our lives spiritually is that we encouraged each other. And we both went to go seek the Lord further in Bible college together.
I remember that. I remember like one of the times I came to, I think it was your wedding when I came to visit you and I said goodbye. I bought this like Yoshi plushie and I
Oh, yeah.
remember we cr I think I cried a ton. I think, I don't know if you cried or I remember just crying 'cause I was like, this sounds horrible, but I was like, I'm not his best friend anymore. Like, dude, I remember that. And I was so, I was so happy about it. Like I was so like, okay, like, wow, this is intense. And I still have that Yoshi plushie now. I still have it. It's like my daughter like snuggles with it and slobbers on it and stuff. But man, what a beautiful moment. And now I think I'll try to land the plane this way. I'm gonna ask Amber a question. Amber, so as what people perceive as the minority of gamers, a girl who is a gamer, who met her husband playing online, who loves Jesus. Every sentence I say, narrower and more narrow and more narrow and more narrow. Like you are a phenomenon, right? Like there are not many stories like this. But it might almost even seem like I like this all this sounds so crazy. You're such a minority in this story that like it could be made up, but it's not. Like this is crazy. So what would you say maybe to followers of Christ that don't understand the video game world? You are this like rare, unique individual. What your story, what can that say to people that might be passionately in love with Jesus, but very confused about like why video games? And at Satellite Gaming, we primarily work with youth. Let's take that out of it. Think of like maybe a pastor, like somebody who is genuinely in love with Jesus. Does not hate or despise us as people, but maybe just has this real awful view of video games, and probably rightfully so, right? Because if you don't speak video game language, there's a lot of stuff about video games that just seems horrible, you know? So speak to maybe that person that is a pastor, just loves Jesus, but just doesn't get video games. Share your perspective. I think you have a really unique perspective. So speak to that.
I guess I would say that it is a very unique position when you have people who are involved in something you don't understand. And I think it's really easy to completely just cut it off. And I did get a lot of pushback like from my pastor and people who I was like, I looked up to until they kind of pushed me down. And I started getting that pushback, and that could have been the moment where I was like, I'm done. And I could have walked out right now. I didn't want that, right? And my heart was to keep following the Lord. But I was surprised at some of the people that were supposed to be the spiritual leaders in my life who were just looking at me and seeing the areas that were society was telling them I was a failure at. And instead of trying to meet me, they just kind of tried to fix me. And I didn't like the thought that I needed to be fixed all the time, because I was like, I mean, God made me who I am. And he says that that's a masterpiece, right? So I think that, like, be open and be pliable to see, like, maybe God's doing something in a way I'm not familiar with. Doesn't mean you have to become an expert in it, but like we talk about satellite gaming, it's just something sort of like, how was that game? Or I just saw that was in the news, like that just came out. Do you play that game? Like, even simple things, even if you don't have a long conversation, can really go a long way to showing people that you care, when I think a lot of people do. But words can show you don't care as well.
Wow. So if there's one thing that you hear in this podcast, it's what Amber just shared. No, that was beautiful. Like, I really think that the Lord is going to speak to some hearts through that. So I appreciate that. And I think to sum that up, I would say to people that don't understand video games, see it as a mission field.
Yeah.
Put on that mindset of like, how would you go into a mission field to passionately show Jesus? You wouldn't go in opposing everything that culture does and speaking negatively about it. You would go into that culture, maybe not agreeing with it, but curious about that culture, and maybe even finding beauty in that culture once you begin to understand it. Wow. Amber, that was beautiful. I really appreciate that. I think, what I would say, and maybe the last thing that I want to hear from you guys is, what would you say to, what would you say to people, maybe single individuals? Let's think about that for a moment, like single individuals. Cause right. Like, I think something that's kind of crummy about our culture is what I've learned is like, or was like, hey, when are you going to get married? When are you going to get married? When are you going to get married? It's like, you guys spend a lot of time as friends, just as mm-hmm. friends. So, how can you speak to just maybe not as a married couple, but just as friends, as brothers and sisters in Christ? Like, what does it look like, and what did it look like to just enjoy video games, just playing them and spurring people on toward love? Again, take out the fact that you're married, but you guys still play video games. You guys still play video games. How are
we
you
will
like
when we're done?
Yeah, you will. You're like, Jamie, shut up so we can play. Like, but seriously, like, what does it look like to just have a gaming session that just honors God with your friends, with people you care about? What does that look like? Because if people can walk away with that, I think it'll be really helpful. So what does it look like to just have a good old gaming session with your best friend?
Sure.
What do you think?
A lot of times it's a lot of asking, hey, what do you want to play? What do you want to play? Sure, whatever. But yeah, you find
so it's like,
and
it's like other couples in Netflix. What do you want to watch?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, actually, yeah, it's very similar to that.
But I would say we've had people talk about our online space a few times. So they're like, you know, sometimes I hang out with some friends, and as soon as that one guy gets off the call, everyone just trash talks him. And, you know, as we play with you guys, you don't do that. You know, people get enough of that, like just at work, you know, hearing that chatter online, you know, it kind of pushes people down a lot. And so I think that that's something that would make it different with us, is that we hopefully walk away with encouraging people. Mm. And, you know, we can be talking about a strategy or whose lane needs pushed or whatever, but then a few minutes later, it could be like, oh man, how's your mom? You know, like, you know, thanks for praying for that thing. This is what happened, or, you know, whatever. There's a lot of like real conversations that happen too. I know a lot of people have that, but I feel like we're really open to that.
That's cool.
So I think that there's a couple different points to come from. Number one, I can't turn like who I am off. I'm just me all the time.
That's true.
Whether it's for good or for bad.
Amber, I'm so sorry.
I love it.
So there's the aspect that if it's like just me and Amber, or just us and the kids, because we play with games with our kids too.
Love that.
If it's just us hanging out, then it's just us hanging out, just like we would in any other way. But it's also just like us hanging out any other way even when we're in a call with our other friends. So like Amber and I, and like a whole bunch of work friends that I used to have from Japan is like one of the people we hang out with a lot. And like, I don't turn off who I am. So like, if I have something going on in my life and Jesus needs to be mentioned, Jesus will be mentioned because he's important. And so Jesus, because he's part of who I am at a very fundamental level, he goes with me wherever I am. So if I'm in the online gaming space, Jesus is there with me.
Yeah. And one thing I appreciate about you guys, and I get to come in and I crash your guys' party all the time when you're playing games with your buddies, because we kind of play different games these days, but I'll come in and I'll talk, and Russ and I might talk ministry, you know, we might talk life, but like,
I love you guys that you do that, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, do you? Okay. Good. Yeah. I hope so. Cause I really like your friend group, and I never want to be that like preachy guy, but I do feel like there's almost like a certain angle I can approach it at. That's not like, hey, I'm Rusty's like Jesus friend. And I think they know that. And I can maybe say
genuine
things that, cause it is genuine. It's like who I am, but I feel like you also have this way of like talking about Jesus, but in a way that still respects that your buddies may not be followers of Christ, but like they really, I can tell they really do care that that's something you care about, even if they don't care about it at all. And I think that just goes to like really respecting that, like, I don't know, your friends are who they are, and you are who you are. And, I love that. So, I don't know. I don't know that I have any, that's so different than my life. Cause I'm in a situation where my wife is not a gamer, and that's really good for me. She asks me sometimes like, would you like it if like at night we argued about which game to play instead of which movie to watch? And I'm like, babe, as unhealthy a relationship as I already have with video games, if you were a gamer, like that would be the worst thing in the world for me. So, God knew that you could handle having a wife that played video games, and he knew that I could not. So, we get some great sessions of Animal Crossing, Stardew Valley, you know, Disney Dreamlight. We get some good sessions of that every now and then, some gang beasts. We get some laps in gang beasts, but man, if my wife played League of Legends with me, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That'd be the worst thing in the world for me. So I love you guys so much. I'm so glad that we got to spend some time together this week. I'm so glad that, you know, we got to just be with Jess, be with you guys, work on SG stuff. So, is there any last words as we come to a close here?
The most important thing out of all this is just to put Jesus at the center. And he's going to go with you, whatever mission field you're at, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, or video games. If Jesus is there with you, that's all you need.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I love that. Amber, Russ, I love you guys so much. It's fun just having a conversation with you guys, and it's cool that maybe a few people will be a fly on the wall for this one. So you guys have an awesome night of gaming, and be a light for Jesus while you do so.
Yeah. Love you, buddy.
Yeah. Love you guys. One more thing. Satellite Stories will be streaming on the Glue Network. That's GLU. Glue is a streaming platform available on Roku and smart TVs, as well as their Android and iPhone apps. Glue exists to unlock the inspirational value of faith-centric programming, partnering with Christian content creators like Love Thy Nerd and Satellite Stories. If you download the Glue Network app today and search for Love Thy Nerd, you'll find us right there. Thanks for joining us as we grow the library of Satellite Stories. We'll see you next time, and don't forget, Jesus loves you, nerds.